Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Monday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky, 500. We hardly knew you. Lakers lose on Sunday and things are looking dicey again. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how or where you get your podcasts, it's always going to be free, never behind a paywall. Locked On Lakers on YouTube, up near 14,000 subscribers there. Really appreciate the support that channel is getting. That's where you go to see the show, watch us do it, and more importantly, really participate in a great Lakers community, one that will be really annoyed with Sunday's results. Lakers get throttled at home by the Chicago Bulls. Final score there, 118 to 108. Lots to unpack from that game, including the return of LeBron James. But do want to let everybody know that today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. So, surprise for the Lakers, LeBron, basically they woke up in the morning. LeBron was upgraded to questionable. And from questionable, he was listed, I think, as doubtful Saturday, which was encouraging. Everyone was like, ooh, doubtful. That's good. At least he's on the report now as out. Upgraded to questionable in the morning on Sunday. And, you know, by game time, tested it out, was ready to go, played. So you and I both thought getting him back before, say, the beginning of April seemed like a long shot. But this leaves LeBron available for what, the final today and the final seven games of the season, if I'm counting right?
Yeah, that would be, because the Lakers are 38 and 37. That would be seven games remaining.
37 and 38, Andy. I know you were right. Used to that 500 thing, but now they're back below.
Yes, they are, but they are now seven games remaining. As far as the planning process and all this, hearing Darvin talk about it after the game, he said that the coaching staff and I guess to some degree, whatever, the medical staff, I say that only because LeBron, like most superstars, has his own private team of medical people as well. Anthony Davis has his guy. This is very common across the league. But he said that in a lot of ways, they've left it up to LeBron to determine, which makes me wonder if they were, frankly, a bit surprised by this. Like, not that he had been in, you know, non-communication with them at all, but by definition, if you go from doubtful to questionable over the course of 24 hours and you're playing a 12:30 game and it's a true game time decision, I seriously doubt that they were truly planning for LeBron to come back today. I imagine it was a bit of a surprise for the team. It sounded the way Darvin talked about it, like this was not fully expected. And
But I mean, I think anytime a guy is a game time decision or, you know, whatever, but like there's always,
I mean, that he would even be a game time decision today.
Right. If you ask them on Friday, do you think LeBron will play Sunday? Darvin probably would have said probably not. I wouldn't think so. He's getting much closer, but I don't think he, you know, but that said, you know, once they upgraded him to even put him on the report as doubtful, and then you start moving obviously into questionable, it shouldn't take that much planning for a team that I would like to think the coaching staff has considered LeBron James return scenarios over the course of the last couple
really
weeks.
It took a lot of planning, Brian, because they opted to play LeBron off the bench, mm-hmm. which was in and of itself a very unusual move considering he played 30 minutes, which we can discuss this.
Because I know, I know, because we texted, you know, we talk a lot during games trying to figure out what it is we're going to talk about and all that kind of stuff. And this is something that I know you were texting, you were, you know, tweeting about it on Cam Brothers, just sort of questioning how all, so what bothered you about this? And then we'll kind of talk through it.
Because what I don't understand the thought process behind playing a guy 30 minutes off the bench. Unless it was something that LeBron specifically demanded/strongly requested, and Darvin was not asked, at least in terms of what we saw after the game, about the thought process leading up to LeBron playing off the bench. So I don't know. When we saw that LeBron was playing off the bench, I assumed he'd be playing like 15 minutes, you know, like something where you're just really easing him back,
putting genuinely him testing it in game situations to see if he can play.
Exactly. Right. Once he's playing 30 minutes, which are starters minutes, to me, it feels far more disruptive than whatever you're looking to avoid by playing him off the bench in the first place, because it led to, at least in part, a new rotation. Where Rui Hachimura got no minutes. And we can talk about that. There was a backcourt of Malik Beasley and Lonnie Walker. We can also talk about that. But LeBron has played, counting this one, two games off the bench his entire career. And the team is very used to him playing in very specific spots. Like LeBron has been, one of the things I've noticed with LeBron now in his fifth season with this team, he is one of the most regimented people I've ever seen in terms of when he enters the game, specifically when he comes out of games, all of that stuff. This to me felt like overthinking it or underplanning it. Like maybe he played 10 to 15 minutes more than you expected, in which case that's, you didn't plan this thing out or got caught by surprise with him being available, whatever. I just don't understand why, if you're looking to maintain flow as much as possible, you don't just play LeBron the way he normally would with the rotation that he'd normally be a part of and keep things as similar as possible. I just don't understand that.
I mean, I get it. I think the first thing I would say is I don't think they planned on playing him 30 minutes. I think in the second half, for example, I think, you know, he comes back in the 9 minute mark. The Lakers are down by 8 at halftime. They have a great push to the end of the first half to close what I think was as much as a 17-point Chicago lead down to 8 going into the break. I don't think, you know, LeBron was back in the game, with 9-something left in the third quarter because they were, you know, Chicago scored the first 7 points of the half or whatever it was. And, you know, the Lakers were, you know, the threat was, you know.
They got out on a 9-0 run.
Yeah, it was terrible. They were just horrible coming out of the break. So I think, you know, little stuff like that, I think, added to the script. If they could have scripted this thing out, I don't think they had him scripted at 30. I'm not even saying this to refute, like saying that you're wrong. I'm just sort of, you know, talking through what I think might have happened in the game. And then the second thing is, if the goal, the Clippers did this with Kawhi earlier in the season when they were trying to kind of measure what they thought would be 25 minutes, 20, you know, 20 to 25, 25 to 30, whatever it is. But something short of the 35 to 40 that a star might normally play in a really critical game, to reduce the amount of time that they sit so that they can finish games. And to your point, the Clippers kind of stopped doing that because Ty, if I remember correctly, and this isn't Locked On Clippers, but if I remember correctly, Ty Lue basically said it's kind of a pain in the ass for everybody, and we're just scrapping the idea. But the idea is, if, you know, in theory, if LeBron comes in with 6 minutes left in this game, takes a quick break between the, you know, in the third and fourth, he's sitting less and can finish the game. None of it worked. And we can talk about the disruption that it caused in the Lakers rotation and sort of the downstream impacts of it. And then I also think we got to talk about all the other stuff that went on with this game, because it was the LeBron stuff didn't seem to work as planned, and everything else also didn't look particularly good. This was not a good effort by the Lakers on Sunday, so we'll get to that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Prize Picks. Laker fans, if you've not signed up for Prize Picks yet, you are missing out on daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. They offer the superstar players, bench players like LeBron James. Just pick 2 to 6 players and predict whether they will notch more or less than the Prize Picks stats projections, and you can win up to 25 times your De Niro. And Prize Picks offers projections on everything from baseball to PGA, or what I call actual golf, to disc golf, which is what I call beer golf. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Safe, fast withdrawals. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. Sign up, play daily fantasy sports. And first-time users, you can receive up to a 100% instant deposit match, up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. Again, do not forget the promo code Locked On to sign up for that instant match. If you're not playing Prize Picks, you don't know what you're missing.
So while we're on the subject of LeBron, it is worth noting the news. LeBron said after the game that he went to see a bunch of doctors. Two of them, he had a torn tendon in his right foot, an injury that typically takes a little while to recover. Jovan Buha reporting from the game afterwards, he said, LeBron went to see a couple doctors that both recommended season-ending surgery, but then he went to see the LeBron James of feet, and it was determined he'd be able to return. And he just said he healed faster than really anybody had ever seen. This, I assume, the LeBron James of feet, Andy, is German, and like this was the doctor that Dennis was referencing.
This could also
Kobe went to see the guy in Germany, and like you know, they, I don't know what they do over there, but they, you know, they heal people. I mean,
well, good Lord. As is my very limited understanding, but based on what we learned with Kobe, it's all about blood spinning, and that's the extent of my knowledge. You're spinning blood platelets.
LeBron James of Dare Feet. I think that's probably what it says on the guy's business card. It should be noted, I thought looked pretty good. He had 19 points, 7 of 8 from the line, 6 of 11 from the floor, 5 turnovers. So there were some loose plays there. And a couple times I thought he was trying to force the ball to AD and whatever, but you know, overall, given the length of the break and obviously not a lot of ramp up time in practice and all that, I thought he looked pretty good. He didn't look terribly limited to me.
No, he looked at times kind of rusty, but that's different, to your point, than looking physically limited.
Like and a guy who was being very careful about how he moved. He looked fine. Let's talk about let's finish this conversation about the impacts and stuff like that. And then let's talk about the rest of the game, because there was a lot of stuff that went on in here that was just bad basketball by the Lakers, regardless of who was on the floor. But you mentioned, for example, Hachimura not playing. I would have liked to see it, but as Darvin said, somebody is going to get squeezed here. You can't play. It's going to be hard to play more than 9 in these games. I wonder if he was trying to find a way to get Lonnie back on the floor after a good game on Friday.
That could have been it, obviously. I suspect that it was in part, though, the byproduct of LeBron coming off the bench, playing one of these forward spots. Mm-hmm. You know, LeBron in terms of his role on the floor is obviously different than Hachimura's. And at the same time, LeBron in terms of position, he's whatever you want him to be. Labels don't even matter, but he was taking up front court minutes. Mm-hmm. And I have a hard time believing that they're not at least in some way related. Now, I mean, to put this in full context, Rui's minutes have been going down over the last several games. So perhaps this was in part a catalyst towards doing something Darvin was thinking about doing anyway. If it is, I frankly think it's a mistake by Darvin on a few fronts. A, I think they need Rui's skill set at his size specifically. B, you know, obviously things will change to some degree when LeBron re-enters the starting lineup. Because either Schroeder, Reeves, or Troy Brown is going to go to the bench.
Mm-hmm. And then again, even when D'Angelo Russell, who did not play on Sunday either,
right.
Hopefully is back, that is even more of a ripple effect down the rotation.
Right. So, you know, we may not be long for Lonnie and Beasley to be on the court for extended minutes, period. But I think in terms of planning out what would happen today, those two together are a bad defensive combination. And they are not the only reason that the Lakers were bad in this game defensively. I want to make sure it's clear. There was a lot of blame and finger pointing to go around on that front. But it's predictable that those two playing minutes together will leave you compromised defensively. And in the meantime, you're losing out on one of the bigger bodies you have in Rui. And while Rui is not a brilliant defender in his own right, I think he's a better defender than either Beasley or Lonnie.
And yeah, no question about that. I completely agree there. And you know, Beasley finished 6 of 14, all of them from 3-point range. But it is a misleading 6 of 14 because a couple of those were late as the Lakers were chasing points or whatever. He missed. There were too many shots. The Lakers finished the game.
To put this in perspective really quick, Brian, he was 4 of 7 from behind the arc in the fourth
quarter. In the fourth, right. And so that is, again, when the Lakers were chasing. You know, there were just too many shots. The Lakers, I think, were at 32% going into the fourth from three, where it's just wide open shots just have to go down. They just have to. And the biggest culprit in that, in the game, was Beasley. And if you're going to take, you know, the volume that he is, particularly the wide open ones, they need to fall. And, you know, so the slump kind of continues. Troy Brown shot the ball well. I thought he was actually sort of consistently, arguably the Lakers' most consistent player on Sunday.
Yep.
You know, Schroeder got off, I think, to a not great start. You know, he was
Schroeder at this point. You just have to sort of throw out the first three quarters.
Right. And it's great when the Lakers are within striking distance in the fourth, but when they're not, it's kind of useless. And, you know,
you're right.
backloaded like Beasley. A lot of his box score totals. It's great if you have him on your fantasy team, but a lot of his box score totals are backloaded. You know, Jared Vanderbilt missed, you know, this was one of those days when you go back and you look at the early Lamar Odom comparisons with Jared Vanderbilt, like streaking the lane and finishing at the rim. And you're like, not so fast. They turned the ball over too much. Like, the Lakers were very loose with the ball, 18 turnovers on the day. And then they missed, you know, they shot 68% from the line. You just too many things. Just, and this is before you even look at what Chicago was doing. Too many things the Lakers did were bad on Sunday. And I am a person who, you know, I like to look really carefully when I, you know, when people talk about effort, energy, want, care, all that kind of stuff. I'm sure the Lakers cared about this game, but they definitely did not. Chicago, after about the first 4 or 5 minutes of this game, made a big push, and the Lakers just couldn't answer it. And they lifted their energy at different parts of the game, but didn't sustain it in the way that Chicago did. And, you know, they were flat. Like, this, I think, is a game where, and this happens to teams at early start times and all that kind of stuff, they were flat. And Chicago both played well and shot the bleep out of the ball, you know, in ways that just broke down the Lakers' defense.
Yeah, it's funny, actually. First of all, you mentioned the 18 turnovers. In case I didn't hear you say it, there were 34 points.
I did not mention the points off of turnovers, just the amount that the Lakers had.
Yeah, so it's 18 empty possessions and 34 points created for the Bulls, which combined with all the points that you left on the cutting room floor at the free throw line, that becomes a problem. There also was a weird thing that backfired in this game for Anthony Davis, who had struggles of his own. He was in foul trouble. He picked up his fifth foul with about 30 seconds left in the third quarter. But Nikola Vucevic got ejected from this game after getting upset that he was called for a play where he cracked LeBron in the face. I don't know what the hell he was arguing about or taking umbrage with. But then I don't know what he said the second time around, but his expression was angry enough that it makes me think it was something very out of bounds, because he got a quick ejection, which led to Andre Drummond getting those center minutes. And that was ultimately a good thing for the Bulls, because Drummond, even before this ejection, was playing way better than Vucevic. And Drummond is also somebody that is very good on the glass, and he's somebody that can prevent Anthony Davis from absolutely owning the glass the way we've seen from AD at his best. Case in point, he only had 9 rebounds in this game. In, you know, even with foul trouble, he played 36 minutes. Like, Vucevic getting ejected in some ways, I think, was the best thing that could have happened to the Bulls.
It didn't hurt. I mean, he wasn't exactly doing a ton in the minutes that he played. I will say, though, that, you know, the flip side of it is Drummond played 18 minutes, so it's not like he was in the game, you know, the entire second half. And you end up with Derrick Jones Jr. playing a lot. Like, it did make the force the Lake the Bulls into a position where they're going to have to go small and disrupt their defense and all that kind of stuff, which could have been a better thing for the Lakers if they were able to hit a shot. And they had to do the thing where, you know, you swarm AD with littles and, you know, he moves the ball around and then you miss the shot. To your point earlier, Andy, you know, not only did the Lakers through three quarters, they had 14 turnovers for 26 Chicago points. The Lakers, on the other hand, did not generate. And these are the two best defenses since the All-Star break. Chicago played that way. The Lakers did not. The Lakers didn't generate any turnovers. They only forced five turnovers for 7 points. So you're losing the turnover battle, points off turnover battle, by almost 20. The Bulls were 9 of 21 from 3-point range. That's 43%. And again, this doesn't even include like the first half where they were even super hotter, just in isolation. The Lakers were 8 of 25. So, you know, that's, you know, you're losing that battle. And then the Lakers are leaving points on the board for free throws are being, you know, hurt on the offensive glass. It's like everything about this, all the little stuff. And then Chicago was winning 50-50 balls and then also getting some good luck. Where, like, you remember that play where Troy Brown had this incredible defensive sequence where he blocks two shots in one sequence, whatever, and the ball just lands at Pat Williams' feet and he dunks it. Like, stuff like that, it's like the basketball gods were like, not today, Lakers. Not today.
Speaking of the Bulls and their defense since the All-Star break, it adds another wrinkle to this that is going to inevitably piss off Laker fans, but make one ex-Laker in particular happy.
I wonder which one
about
is.
Talk about that coming up next. But Locked On Lakers also brought to you by Built Bar. The Built Bar March Madness bracket is here, and we know you have a favorite bar or puff, and now it's time to make a count. Go to builtmarchmadness.com to vote for your favorite. I will be voting for the peanut butter brownie. I'm a big time peanut butter guy. I love it. Brian, I apologize. You can't partake. You're allergic to them.
Never know.
And if, though, you want the Lakers to win, you will be supporting that bar as well. It's all connected. They lost today probably because you didn't vote enough. Shame on you. Support your team, support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners get a free box of Built. Not only that, one Locked On fan will get a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly to your door. That is awesome, actually. You got to try Built. Built, the best protein bar ever, and they're so amazing tasting, you're going to forget that they're actually good for you. They're high in protein, they're low in sugar, covered in 100% real chocolate. Again, real chocolate. So go to builtmarchmadness.com right now, vote for your favorite bar or puff. Pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March. So hop in, support your pick.
Look, Pat Bev was, you know, they asked Anthony Davis after Friday's game, what do you think about all the stuff Pat Bev has been saying about, you know, trying to ruin the Lakers season and this and that, whatever. And AD said he can try and all, you know, there was a moment in the fourth quarter where Pat Bev kind of pulled up on LeBron and shot over him and did the too small thing, like too small guard me. He did that sometimes with the Lakers, but he did it to LeBron. And I know certainly the people who populate our page at Locked On Lakers on YouTube, certainly people who comment on Cam Brothers on Twitter, were hoping to take this game and shove it down Pat Beverly's throat. And I'm sorry, Lakers fans. Pat Bev wins the day. His team came in, just throttled the Lakers, won that game decisively. And overall, he had a pretty nice game. You know, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. He had a steal. Pat Bev won, Lakers 0 on the revenge tour.
That's all because of Pat Beverly. You know that, right? Because it's one of the best defensive teams in the league since the trade deadline. Patrick Beverly gets traded to the Magic, bought out, goes to the Bulls. They are one of the best defensive teams in the league. If you ask Pat Beverly, he will tell you, even if you don't ask him, that's all him. And my God, is this guy going to have material to keep promoting his podcast? Because remember, the Lakers play the Bulls again on Wednesday. So he's got nothing but time to kill and hours to download talking about how he beat the bleep out of his old team that was silly to trade him. That, by the way, their defensive issues, pre-deadline, they're all because, I don't know if you saw this, they weren't listening enough to Patrick Beverley.
That is true.
Patrick Beverley was telling guys, even LeBron, when to rotate, places to go, different strategies, where to shade. They didn't listen enough to Pat Bev. And the fact that the Lakers also improved since Pat Bev left, we're going to leave that part out.
Neither here nor there. No. Normally, we've been providing a lot of updates to the standings. We love our audience. We love the support that we get. We also love getting this thing knocked out as early in the day as possible. So we're not waiting around for all the games to be finished. Minnesota and Golden State play later on Sunday. Oklahoma City and Portland play later on Sunday. Obviously, depending on the results of those games, it's going to impact where the Lakers are. But the point being, with this loss, the Lakers, that their potential to finish in the sixth spot, and remember, they do own the tiebreaker over Golden State, their potential to finish in the sixth spot is really pretty badly damaged. And it's not out of the question, but it's badly damaged. And so you look at it now, pending results for Sunday night's games, there could be anywhere from three teams with 38 losses. Oklahoma City, maybe if Portland picks them off, bumps up to 39, that helps the Lakers. But you're really looking now at 7 through 10 as the most realistic landing spots for the Lakers. The way Dallas is fading, the way Utah is fading, 10 somewhere Dallas in there looks.
Dallas is a mess.
Twice they lost to Charlotte. Twice in consecutive games, lost to Charlotte.
It seems like the bad vibes on that team are growing.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, feeling a little bit more comfortable about the Lakers being somewhere in the play-in, but in terms of the ambition of finishing as high as possible, you know, the Pelicans are suddenly playing pretty well. You know, the Warriors overall, you know, they think they've won 3 in a row again, pending Sunday's results. And we'll see what happens here. But, you know, they picked a bad day to play poorly. But the flip side of that is any day between now and the end of the season, they had 8 games left. I'm sure they were going to lose some of them. But every time they lose a game, you're like, oh, that one hurts. So that's where things kind of stand. It is still very tightly packed. But the more the sort of the big takeaway for me, at least based on Sunday's loss, is that you really are much more now looking at 7-8 as the upside here, as opposed to maybe even sneaking into that sixth spot.
And
Lakers do have also too. They have the tiebreaker over New Orleans as well, which could become relevant. And they play Minnesota one more time.
They also have the tiebreaker over the Thunder, which is important. But make no mistake about it too. It's a big difference between getting 7-8 versus 9-10.
Yeah.
Like even if you don't reach your ambition of 6, getting 7 or 8 where you get 2 cracks at one spot is much better than having to win both games just to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, no question.
They still have something really, really urgent to play for, even if it seems like the teams behind them aren't going to catch them.
Yeah, and so the team actually that they do not have the tiebreaker over is Dallas, and in the bunch that are very tightly connected to them. And I think the Minnesota game next week will, I should say this week now, will determine the tiebreaker in that, I think. We're going to talk more about Austin Reeves and some, I thought, both interesting and awesome stuff that he said about like the Lakers and the upcoming free agency that he's got going on and all that, and things that should have Jeannie Buss looking under the couch cushions for a little extra cash. But overall, I thought this was not a great game for Austin. We talked about this as well, where he has been really controlling games and controlling defenses and getting himself to the line. I felt like on Sunday, he was forcing it. It just, you know, the shooting efficiency was okay and all that stuff, but it just felt forced on Sunday in ways that it hasn't in a little while.
I think there actually felt like there was some forcing going on against the Thunder as well, even though the Lakers won that game. Honestly, Austin seems like a guy that Jay Williams got into his head. Like, Austin started thinking about, oh my God, what does happen to me when LeBron comes back? Like, ever since Jay Will said this, Austin Reeves hasn't been playing as well. Darvin Ham may have just completely overthought this thing where he's like, oh my God, maybe I do have to play LeBron off the bench. I don't want to interrupt Austin Reeves. Like,
I know you talked about it a little bit before. What did you make of 80's game overall? When the first like 5 or 6 minutes of this one, I was like, okay, we're going to get good AD again. And then it just got, like, I think the word of the day is disjointed for the Lakers on Sunday. And I think that applied to AD. And then the foul trouble started to become a problem. The fourth quarter was kind of, and then once you're behind, you're spending the whole game behind, you're playing uphill, everything gets thrown off. I think that's part of the reason Beasley and Walker were in a backcourt together trying to generate as much offense as you possibly can. And just the whole thing, it was just off all day. And it felt like that AD certainly, after a decent start, kind of fell into the same rhythm as the rest of the team.
Well, I mean, the foul trouble definitely didn't help. Like I said, I actually thought he struggled more. In whatever minutes he was playing against Andre Drummond, I thought he did not do nearly as well as he did against Vucevic. I also just wondered, too, if, like, again, having LeBron back, one of the big beneficiaries should be Anthony Davis, yet you didn't play them as much as you normally would have had you just started LeBron. Again, some of this ends up screwed up because of AD's foul trouble, but you did not, by design, put the team in a position where those two, who, lest anybody forget, are really good together, they didn't play as many minutes together as they could have. So again,
yeah. So anyway, AD finishes with 15, 9, and 5 with the 5 fouls. Lakers had 6 players in double figures, but it was just, all right, we'll see what happens. You know, you would expect any kind of return for LeBron, given how long they played without him, there'd be some kind of adjustment period. Hopefully the Lakers get it out of the way on Sunday, because not a lot of time left to continue adjusting. That was it. That was your adjustment period. Everybody gets some rest on Monday. They'll fly out to Chicago.
If this is your one game of adjusting, why don't you do it the way you're normally going to do it?
Like, again, I think it was just, I think everything about this game did not go as planned, including the final score. Right up and to the end in the final score. You're down by double digits for almost the entire game, and the recipe changes. So Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to watch the show, see it, leave comments, engage with us. We will certainly be able to use a lot of them over the next couple days as the Lakers prepare for this game on Wednesday, a couple days off. So we'll talk about Austin Reeves. We'll take your comments, take your questions going into the crunchiest of crunch time stretches for the Lakers. They're still in it. Things are looking optimistic for some kind of playoff, but see if they can bump their comfort level up a little bit with some big games this week. And we'll see everybody next time.